morning, everyone.
Hey.
Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask today that you would make these words written on a page living words for us, because they are the words, your voice to us today. We pray this so you're glorified in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought this week we had Sea Sunday on Sunday. It's not Sunday now, so we called it Sea Wednesday. Sea Week sounded a bit weak as a title, so Sea Wednesday will be the one after Sea Sunday. And I thought we'd look at Jonah, one of the famous seafarers of the Bible. And I think it's a very relevant book, the book of Jonah, to the vision of organisations like Mission to Seafarers, and relevant to all of us as disciple-making disciples. We're probably familiar with the start of the book of Jonah. It begins with the servant Jonah, the prophet of God, the mouthpiece of God to the people of Israel. And Jonah begins with God asking Jonah to speak to an enemy nation. But then the complication comes pretty early on. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Now, he effectively goes as far away from his calling as possible, to Tarshish. He is willing to go on the sea, which was a place of chaos in ancient thought, and it's not something an Israelite would normally do, and he was willing to mix with Gentile sailors as well. All in all, his actions are a physical representation of his heart. He is committed to sinning. He is committed to ignoring God. And as we read on, we see things go badly very quickly. A violent storm arises, and the ship is breaking up. Now, as readers, we get some insider knowledge. We're told in verse 4, it's the Lord who sent the storm. But they don't necessarily know that. Jonah's asleep, we hear, but the sailors don't know that. We're told that God has brought this upon them. Jonah's asleep below the deck. And so we get a look at the sailors, these hardy sailors who are used to sailing. They're sea merchants. They would be out on the sea a lot. Now, it must have been a bad storm, because they, we're told, were very afraid, to the point they're all crying out to their own gods for rescue. And nothing happened. We know nothing happened. Why? Because they tried to lighten the ship by throwing cargo into the sea, their livelihood. That's no good now. So obviously their gods hadn't answered them. And eventually they get Jonah up and they cast lots to find out if he is the one to question about the storm. Turns out he is, and they finally do their contact tracing duty, and they ask all the relevant questions: where have you come from, where have you been, and who's your God? When they want to find out where he's been, because that would tell them what God he worships. Jonah tells them, I am a Hebrew. We've got this here. He says, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Now the name there, the Lord, is the translation of the Hebrew word Yahweh, the personal name God gave Israel to know him by. I worship Yahweh, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And at this we see that the sailors are afraid. In fact, the language is they feared a great fear. For the ancient world, each nation had their own gods, and the gods were powerful in their jurisdiction. So, of that nation. So, if you were a Philistine, you had Philistine gods, one of them being Dagon that we learn about in 1 Samuel, and the gods, and they had no power. So Dagon had no power in Egypt, and the gods of Assyria had no powers beyond the borders of that empire. One way to make your god more powerful is to then expand your kingdom, your empire, by taking over others. And so when they're told he's running away from his god, they probably assumed at first, because it does say in verse 10, they knew he was running away from God because he told them. But they probably assumed that once they set off from shore, his God wasn't going to bother chasing him. He was going outside his jurisdiction. But now they fear a great fear because Jonah has told him who he is. He is a Hebrew and he worships, literally, he fears Yahweh, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. Now it's a different ball game. He's one of those Israelites. Perhaps these sailors, like other nations around them, had heard the stories of the Israelites who were brought out of Egypt by a powerful God who humbled mighty Egypt through great wonders. The God who dealt firmly with his own people in the desert, who made his own people wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Stern God. The God who led a small nation to take over the land of Canaan. This is the God he's running away from, a God who has shown that he has power in every nation. Now, even if they hadn't heard the tales of the Israelites and their God, Jonah highlights that his God is the God, the one who made the sea and the land, the one who is in heaven. He is the God who has brought this storm. He is the God who is not bound by geography. He owns the land, he owns the sea, he rules from heaven. The sailors may have cried out to their own gods, because that's what they knew. But Yahweh is the only God that matters, the only God to be feared. And this is what the sailors come to realize. They ask, what must we do? And Jonah says, I'm the reason the storm's upon you. Row me off the boat. That's when we come into contact with the Savior. They must throw him off the ship. Now notice the way they first, it says, instead the men did their best to row back to land. Notice the way they try to use their own strength to save themselves and try to row back to land. Maybe there's an alternative way to appease God. Maybe they can escape this if they just try hard enough. But it only makes the storm worse. It gets wilder and wilder. Eventually, they realize they must do as Jonah suggested. They throw Jonah overboard and the sea grows calm. They're saved. On the surface, Jonah's a cute story for Sunday school lessons. But there's a significant thing going on that's often missed. It isn't about the importance of obeying God even when it's hard. What I love about Jonah is that it's not about Jonah. It's about God. Whether it's the great city of Nineveh or the sailors on a merchant ship, the book of Jonah foreshadows the worldwide vision of grace that God will bring through his son Jesus. That in the time of Jonah, if you wanted to know Yahweh, you had to come to Israel, become an Israelite. But this foreshadows that God's grace is going to go out to the nations. And so Jesus comes and says, go, make disciples of all nations. But it comes down to this with the sailors. If the one and only God will not save these people, then who is going to? Do you see here that the only savior of people with false gods is the true and living God, who has revealed himself through Jesus Christ? And so it's imperative that we, as people who know Jesus, that we present him to the world, we introduce, we proclaim Jesus. And so as we consider the world of the sea today and those who spend their time working on ships, and as we pray for and support the mission to seafarers, it's important we recognize this fundamental truth that the only God who saves is God, and he has made himself known through Jesus. The only God who can save those who are out at sea or in ships in ports is the God who made the sea. And he is known through Jesus. So for those of you who are workers in the mission to seafarers, the most important work you do is to find ways of introducing seafarers to Jesus. Because he is the only help that is relevant to 100% of the seafarers who visit our shores. But Jesus is not only the saviour of people on ships, he's also the saviour, the only saviour on offer for every single person you meet. whether it's the people you live with, the people you work with, the people you exercise with, travel with, buy coffee from, teach, learn from, the people you walk past in the street and don't even notice. If they will not be saved by Jesus, then who will save them? They must hear about Jesus, because Jesus is relevant to everyone. Everybody has their own God, whether it's a named God of a major or minor religion, or an abstract thing like the universe or Mother Nature or themselves. Everybody has a God. But if their God, whatever their God is, if it isn't Jesus they worship in godly fear, then it's useless and it will not save them. The gospel is the news that the one and only God of the universe, who owns every inch of this universe, who alone can save, has made himself known through his son Jesus. And when we recognize that while we rely on ourselves, we're as good as sailors in a ship that is breaking up in the middle of the ocean, staring down destruction, because our sin keeps us from being accepted by a holy and just God who destroys sin. If we turn to any other God whose name is not Jesus, then we will not avoid destruction. We must turn to God, the one who is assaulted by sin, and find that he is the deliverer from sin. How sweet is the gospel news for those staring at judgment, because Jesus is the one who was willingly thrown into the sea of God's wrath when he died on the cross. And he's done that for you, and he's done it for everyone who believes. Friends, the only savior of people with false gods is the true and living God, and he has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. So as the church under Christ, let's trust him. Proclaim him, because he is relevant to everyone without exception.